In meinem Podcast Kino oder Couch treffe ich jede Woche prominente Menschen aus den unterschiedlichsten Bereichen. Egal, ob aus dem Sport, Musik, Kino, Serien oder Entertainment-Business. Und gemeinsam sprechen wir über spannende Filme, Serien und das Leben. Und es wird die alles entscheidende Frage gestellt, Kino oder Couch? Die heutige Folge von Kino oder Couch ist eine Express-Ausgabe und ich freue mich Bombe. Bei mir zu Gast ist nämlich ein Mann, der mit der Fortsetzung seines 2018 international gefeierten Horror-Thrillers A Quiet Place gerade bei uns in den Kinos läuft. Er hat bei beiden Filmen Regie geführt, hat sie geschrieben und eine der Hauptrollen gespielt. Viel Spaß! Ladies and Gentlemen, was für ein geiler Gast heute bei Kino oder Couch. He's one of the nicest and smartest people in Hollywood. For more than 2 decades, we have been rooting for him and his characters. He's been saving the world from terrorists, aliens, broke people's hearts, made our stomach ache laughing, and has found another couple of true loves next to his wife, kids, and acting, writing, directing, and producing. He's been very successful with being quiet. I hope he won't be now. Please welcome the one and only, the great John Krasinski.
Wow.
Very nice to meet you.
That is an introduction. I mean, that's the way to start a week. Thank you very much.
Exactly. And you deserve it. John, let's get started straight away. I have to be honest. I had great expectations about A Quiet Place 2. And I can only say it's an amazing continuation of a very thrilling, horrific, emotional story. So congratulations on the second part.
Thank you so much. Thank you for saying that.
And I would say, you know, that the second part especially is about making the right decisions and living with the consequences. What made you decide on returning or revisiting the life of the Abbott family?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, at first I didn't intend to return at all. The studio had asked me to do a sequel after the first movie was so successful, which I think I'm still processing. That was such an overwhelming response to the first movie that I was very trepidatious to do another one, namely because the first one was so personal to me. I know I've said it many times, but it's true. The first one is a love letter to my kids. It's about sort of what I see parenting to be, that idea of what would you really do for your kids? Clearly, we hope none of us have to protect them from killing creatures, that supersonic hearing killing creatures. But to me, it was that idea of really delving into a family drama that was Trojan horsed as a genre film. And so that's what was so special about the first one. And I had no intention of doing a sequel just for sequel's sake. But I had this one idea, and the one idea was, what if you made Millie the lead character of the second one? And in doing so, I really found my key, because she's not only the representation of youth and this idea that youth is bolder and more courageous than the generation in before them, but also she was able to represent all the themes and metaphors that we were dealing with on the first movie. So she's able to continue these great organic themes of family and feeling like the warrior princess after feeling useless in the first movie. All those things really started to trigger ideas for me, and that's why I decided to do it.
What really caught me, especially with the first one and now with the second one, is that we are threatened globally by something that we can't control.
That's right.
Do you think that the audience looks at the movie differently now after having dealt with a pandemic of these proportions or still being in it?
I mean, I think it's absolutely possible. I would imagine so. Certainly, I look at the movie differently. I think that we certainly never intended any correlation between our fictitious world and the real world. That was sort of terrifying to even imagine that there were even the most subtle of correlations and then the not so subtle correlations. But if there was one correlation that I hoped every audience member would take from it, certainly even more so now, is the idea of hope. The idea that you put one foot in front of the other, and the way to get out of these darkest times is to not do it in an individualistic way where you're only protecting yourself, but actually to reach out to the community and that we all come back together. That's certainly the sort of hopeful, the message that we had in this movie.
I like your positive thinking, because I'm the same way. I hope that the best out of humanity comes out now. But I would like to touch upon that subject again, because Cillian Murphy's character, you know, as the neighbor of the Abbott family, he is you know, he's protecting himself and he's very cautious about having other people come into his life. And there's a second sort of situation where you see humanity changing, you know, the way that they look upon each other in a different way. And you still say it's about hope. Was it frustrating to see parallels on that regard? So you basically looked at Cillian Murphy's character and see humanity change in that way as well, a little bit, that they focus on each other more than on each other?
No, I mean, I think that for me, that was really exciting. You know, I think that, listen, there's an understandable aspect to humanity that wants to be individualistic. That's, it's more protective, it's safer to only care about yourself and to shut down. I think that it's braver to do what the youth in the movie is doing, where this little girl's taking what she knows can save many more people and bringing it out to them no matter what the risk. But I think that the big, powerful idea here was actually all through Cillian. Cillian's character is someone who has gone through tremendous loss and wants to give up. And in doing so, meets the family that you meet in the first movie. And in meeting the family, realizes that maybe giving up isn't the best option, and there is actually something he can do. It's possible to redeem himself, and he does. And I think that that's the beauty of the human story, and certainly what we were going for in this one.
You just mentioned that you wanted to put the focus on Regan and her character, especially that she's the one who's taking charge, even though Emily Blunt, your wife's character, is also taking charge, but in a different kind of way. And I really like it to see kids saving the world in a different kind of setting and, you know, taking charge, because they are so much smarter in the way that they handle certain things. You know, sometimes they say for a director, it's difficult to work with kids. Was that the greatest challenge, to work with someone that of that caliber in that surrounding and setting?
It's so funny. You nailed it. I've been told by so many people once I started directing, never work with kids because they're always the least prepared. They take up the most of your day. They have to go to school and all these different things. And I had the exact opposite experience. I mean, these kids were probably the most professional people on set. They probably saved me time every single day. They were not only the most unbelievably talented actors, they were the most unbelievably deep and special kids. They were such great thinkers. They had such enormous warmth to them, and they were able to understand and hold ideas that, let's be honest, I mean, a kid who's at the time 13 years old, able to understand the concepts of deep loss and shame and guilt for being blamed by another parent for losing a sibling and things like that. It's hard enough to think about that stuff, let alone articulate it in a specific performance like these kids were able to do. So I got lucky. I actually remember Noah Jupe, the recommendation came to me from George Clooney, and he said, you can stop your search. I've found the greatest kid. He's not only the greatest actor, he's the greatest kid. And he's so unbelievably good and takes one to two takes maximum. So I remember that's how I found Noah. And then I remember Todd Haynes had just worked with Millie. And Millie, he had said the exact same thing. He said that he was actually jealous that I was going to get to work with her because he was so in love with the experience of working with her. He couldn't believe that I was going to get to experience the whole same thing. And I will say, I think that at the end of days, we'll find out that Millie wasn't even of this earth. She's not one of us. We're going to find out she's a special being. She's an angel or some sort like that, because she truly has a wealth of depth that is unlike anything I've ever encountered.
I think their performances were really impressive. And that's thanks to you as well as a director, that you gave him sort of the comfort and the backing to be that awesome. I think they were really great.
Oh, well, thank you.
One other thing that I really liked about the movie is that you started to have parallel storylines that you set up. Something that I haven't seen done in the way that you have done it. Was that something very important to you, that you wouldn't only follow one sort of tragedy or horrific experience or one challenge of one person?
Yes, absolutely. So in the first movie, it was actually in the editing room that we found our intercut system that we did in the third act. So at the end of the first movie, if you've seen it, it's, you know, Emily's on her own. My character's out looking for the kids, and the kids are experiencing the world in a different way. And I hadn't really written it that way. So it was a bit of a challenge to make those intercuts work. We ended up doing so thanks to the incredible editing team. But this time I learned my lesson and I actually wrote that way. So I wrote the storylines and separated them and actually wrote down where I wanted to cut. So that inner cutting felt much more organic, I think, because not only did I know where I was going with it, but the entire crew and cast knew where we were going with it. So they were able to really help me in those transitions by delivering performances they knew were handoff moments.
If there was just one last sound that you could hear before everything would go quiet, which one would it be?
Oh, my kid's laughing, for sure.
And if there is one sound that you could make before everything goes quiet, which one would that be?
Oh, man, probably a gasp of an exhale of gratefulness, just to be grateful to have had the experience. Just a thank you sigh, if you will.
A thank you sigh. John, because I said it earlier, I think your career is amazing in front and behind the camera, and you can see and sense that you have so much fun doing what you are allowed to do. Was there one movie that inspired you to be an actor, or one favorite movie that you always go back to get inspiration or to be calmed down or to basically remember why you do this?
I mean, there's so many movies. I think like most audience members, I'm on a constant search to be inspired. So there's things that inspire me about every little thing that I watch. But yeah, I mean, as a kid, I mean, you really have to go back to, for me, people like Steven Spielberg. I think that I remember so specifically, I think in the first 3 weeks of dating Emily, we watched Jaws 8 times, which I don't know what that says about our relationship, but we watched Jaws a whole lot. To me, that storytelling is so airtight. It's so well done. And then there's Jurassic Park, which I think is, you know, really the birthplace of a lot of imagination for me. I think when you see that movie and what you're able to pull off, I know that Steven himself has said that that movie was such an amazing thing because it broke the barriers of what was possible. And certainly it was for anybody who watched it too. So I think that those are the kinds of movies that as I was a kid really were the birthplace of my imagination. I certainly had imagination before that, but I didn't know how I would run wild with it until I saw his movies.
Interesting to say, because both movies deal with the threat and have kids in it dealing with the threat. And it's especially about families, you know, sticking together and holding on to each other. So that's something that has been following your career up until now.
So it means I'm not hiding my inspiration very well. I will tell you one.
No, you are hiding your inspiration very well, because I mean the it's fantastic what you've done out of it.
It's amazing. I so appreciate it. One of my favorite Easter eggs in the movie, and my very subtle thank you to Steven Spielberg is at the very beginning of the movie, my character walks down the street and he walks by a pizzeria, and it says Brody's Pizzeria, and that's for Chief Brody in Jaws. So. Also, Brody's Pizzeria is the sponsor of the Little League team, of the Little League that's playing in the beginning. So that was my subtle movie thank you to Steven Spielberg.
Fantastic. John, before we come to an end, there's one more question, because you were the one who basically said right before the pandemic started that you wanted people to enjoy this movie in the movie theaters. So would you say that you are more team movie theater or team couch?
Oh, absolutely more team movie theater. For me, I mean, to me, it's a sanctuary. It's a place that I've been going ever since I was younger. Like I said, to find a source of inspiration and imagination. And I personally don't feel that I have the same experience at home, only because being in a room full of strangers, it almost feels like you're all sitting around a campfire together. There's something uniquely special about that. Certainly, you can watch things however you want, whatever's most comfortable to you. I'm never going to tell you how to watch your movies. But for me, certainly the theatrical experience, and certainly how we built this film in specific, not only sound-wise this time, but visually. We made this knowing that we wanted it to be in theaters. And so as much as I'm thrilled that people are coming out to see our movie, you know, I think I'm equally thrilled, if not more thrilled, that people are coming out to movies in general. This is such an important moment in the history of film, that people coming back out and showing the rest of the world that theaters are back is really a really, really special thing for me to be a part of.
And last but not least, what movie title fits your life perfectly?
Which movie what?
Movie title, fictional or made up.
Which movie title?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not A Quiet Place.
No. I don't know. I would title, what's the title of my life movie? It would be, I don't know, giving it a shot, maybe. It's like, I love that every single day you try as best you can, but there will always be surprises. And it's how you deal with those that make it interesting.
And the sequel to that one would be Home Run, probably.
I like that. Giving it a shot and Home Run. I think that's a franchise right there. We built that.
Cool. John, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Congrats again.
Thank you so much.
Stay safe and healthy.
And you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Bye.